Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everyone, it's Lauren L. of the High Desert. Thank you so much for tuning in. It is currently Sunday, January 18th, 2015, 9 p.m. I'm really happy to be here to speak with all of you about local news. I recently picked up a book from the Morongo Basin Historical Society and 29 Palms Historical Society. It is the Morongo Basin 100-Year Project, 1910 to 2010. It's a really simple book. It was $5 at the old schoolhouse in 29 Palms, and I figured that was a really great deal, and I love learning about the history here in the High Desert, so I picked one up. And there's all these little stories in the book that are really interesting, and so I decided that I would start my show off by featuring a story every week, and this will last me quite some time. So I will read you some pieces of history at the beginning of my broadcast, and it's just a short paragraph. So I will start off on the first page. This is for year 1910, and the featured topic is Maud Russell. So here's what the description says. Again, this is coming from 1910. Clara True, superintendent of the Indian Agency in Banning, was in charge of 5 small reservations, including 29 Palms. Until then, no Indian Bureau employee had ever visited the 29 Palms site. 2 four-horse teams took several days to reach their destination. That's a long time. Several days. No single lady would dream of taking a journey without a female traveling companion, so Illinois native Maud Russell accompanied Miss True on 2 occasions, 1909 and 1910. When Maud came to California, she found employment as financial clerk in the U.S. Indian Service Office, working among the Chimoweevi. A trained stenographer, she documented her travels and was a historian without portfolio. She did not consider herself a researcher, but rather a fact gatherer. In 1939, 30 years after her first visit, she came to live in 29 Palms in a cabin on the Mitchell's homestead. She interviewed many of the miners and Indians who had lived in the area prior to 1900. Although in ill health and armed with what she called a misbehaving typewriter, Maud Russell planned to publish a book called Yesterday of 29 Palms, but died in 1953 at age 84 before that could be accomplished. Moving on to events that are coming up, there's quite a few events. I hope all of you attend and support the local groups in the area and show encouragement. That's always really great. So let me pull up the calendar really fast, and I'll get this information to you. I have an event section on my website, just so that you know. It is called Lauren L. of the High Desert.com. High is spelled H-I, so just go there, and I try to keep it updated. You can check all the events. I put the locations, time. If you know of any events, you can always let me know, and I really appreciate it. So the next event I have on the calendar is in the Lower Desert, if you happen to be down there. It is January 21st. It is a part of the Living Green Lecture Series, and the topic is From Land of Plenty to a Food Crisis, and this is featuring Milt McGiffin, PhD, who is the Vice Chair of Cooperative Extension at UCR's Department of Botany and Plant Sciences. And so the UCR Palm Desert branch is really interesting. If any of you have been there, it's really a branch of UCR, and so it's really fascinating to go there and to hear these scholarly lectures when they come up. Again, that is a part of the Living Green Lecture Series. On January 23rd, the Yucca Mesa Improvement Association will be holding its January potluck and have a speaker as well. This is at the Yucca Mesa Community Center. You can go to my website for the directions on where to go to get there. It starts at 5 p.m. On January 24th, the Morongo Basin Conservation Association is having its annual meeting and presentation starting at 9 a.m. going to 12 p.m. This will be at the Joshua Tree Community Center in Joshua Tree, and this should be a really great event. I encourage you to go. I pick up a lot of my information from the Morongo Basin Conservation Association. It's a really outstanding group, very active, and so it's really great that they put on these events for the community. On January 28th, the High Desert Homegrown Poultry Association is having its quarterly meeting starting at 6 p.m., and this will be held at the Yucca Mesa Community Center in Yucca Mesa. How many of you knew that there's a High Desert Homegrown Poultry Association up here? I'll read you some description about it. Founder Charlotte Shamhart will bring samples of many poultry feeds available locally and talk about nutritional content as well as what chickens and other poultry need to grow properly and lay eggs. There will also be a demonstration in sprouting grains for green forage for poultry and other animals. Meetings are always interesting and everyone learns new information. So that should be really interesting to go to. And finally, well, I have one more after this. The Yucca Mesa Improvement Association is hosting a Fiesta Friday on January 30th, starting at 6 p.m. And this will also be at the Yucca Mesa Community Center. If you buy tickets in advance, it is $10 for adults, $7 for child. At the door, it will be $13 for adult, $10 for child. There will be tacos, rice, beans, salsa, dessert, beverages, and so this should be really fun. Finally, the event that I'm sharing for today, or for coming up soon, is hosted by the Transition Joshua Tree Group. And this event will be on February 2nd, 7:30 p.m. It is called On the Road to Permaculture with Tim DeLory and Jill Giedrich. I'll read the description for you. Admission is free. So the description says, for 2 months during the summer of 2014, Joshua Tree permaculture designers Tim DeLory and Jill Giedrich road tripped through the Pacific Northwest visiting permaculture institutions, farms, and intentional communities. They often stayed for a number of days at each site, working alongside the community. Excuse me. My voice is giving out. Okay. As I was reading, they often stayed for a number of days at each site, working alongside the community. Jill and Tim will give a presentation about this trip, including slides and insights into the successes and pitfalls of functioning farms. Permaculture is an artful method of land use design that works with the deep patterns of nature to regenerate ecosystems and create sustainable human habitation. Tim DeLory is a highly published scientist, and Jill Giedrich is an artist and professor at UC Riverside, certified permaculture designers and owners of On Contour Regenerative Designs. They have been involved in this field for the past 5 years. Jill has been designing and building permaculture systems for her own property while consulting, conducting workshops, teaching, and lecturing on dry lands permaculture in Joshua Tree, California. Using his background in the sciences, Tim takes an experimental approach to practicing the art of permaculture. His projects have ranged from designing systems for efficient dry land usage to rediscovering nutritional densities of native desert plants used by indigenous people of the Mojave Desert region. So again, this event is free, starts at 7:30 p.m. on February 2nd, which is a Monday. It will be held at the Harrison House, which is located in Joshua Tree. If you would like the specific information about this event, then please go to my website, laurenlofthehighdesert.com, and I will have it listed there for you. Here's a recap of recent events I've been to in the High Desert. I did make it to the Morongo Basin MAC meeting on Monday, January 12th. It was held at the Joshua Tree Community Center. Before I get into this, though, I just want to give my condolences to the families that have been connected to the car accidents that have been happening recently in the High Desert. It seems like it's been the news of the week are car accidents. I heard about the car accident that was in 29 Palms. There were two major car accidents in 29 Palms. I don't have the dates on hand or the specific information, but I do recall one woman died at the site. She was 26 years old. She was in 29 Palms, turning onto Highway 62 at Utah, and was just hit right on the side as she was turning, and she had three young children with her in the car who were all injured and had to be flown to Loma Linda. And there was another car accident later that day. That was a three-car accident. And I was reading the article from Z1077 about it, how the passengers, from my understanding, from when I read the article, which was a few days ago, no one had died, but there were passengers that had to be taken out of the vehicles by force. They couldn't remove themselves. So the cars were mangled pretty bad. So just be aware when you're driving and make sure that other people are conscious, too, when they're driving in this area, because there have been a lot of car accidents happening for various reasons. Back to the MAC meeting, which MAC stands for Municipal Advisory Committee Meeting. It is about the unincorporated areas in the Morongo Basin, because the majority of the Morongo Basin is unincorporated. It is county property, so much of the decisions made for the areas out here they're dictated by the County Board of Supervisors. So this meeting is really important because it's where the communities can gather and still share information. So I'll just breeze through some of the notes that I took from this meeting. These notes can also be found on my website. There is a Wonder Valley resident that is concerned about overgrading on roads in Wonder Valley. So if any of you live out there, maybe you are knowledgeable of this. She is the only one that I've heard who's really concerned about this. She spoke at the December meeting as well. Another Morongo Basin resident made comment that there are left turn lanes being installed on Highway 62 that appear to be turning to dirt roads. Highway 62 before getting to 29 Palms. So he brought this up because he wondered why there are left lanes being installed that seem to be going to dirt roads rather than paved roads or more developed roads. And he mentioned that additionally in 2009, a light was requested by Morongo Basin residents to be installed at Sunset and Highway 62, which Caltrans abandoned. The primary speaker of the meeting was Susan Petro of Telecare Corporation. And so she explained Telecare and the services that it provides. Services are available 24/7, 365 days out of the year to individuals, both adolescents and adults, with mental despair. It is a crisis walk-in center. And she pointed out that when we hear mental despair or mental problems, that many people often assume extreme situations, extreme mental disabilities. But she did mention that many of us experience some kind of mental frustration at some point in our lives. Maybe we're not very aware of it. So she did mention that this center, again, is available, has services 24/7. Insurance is not required. Individuals can stay for up to 23 hours. Telecare Corporation has provided services since 1965 and is in the process of opening programs in Arizona. There are also telemedicine calls where doctors do Skype calls and individuals can tune in to the Skype call, which she said that a lot of patients like or a lot of people like to hear directly from doctors. If you would like to know more information or contact the Telecare Corporation, you can call them at 855-365-6558. There is also discussion about solar, as always. That's the big topic up here. General solar-related discussion. There was a video that was showed to the audience at the meeting that discussed solar development all over the southwestern region in the United States. So there was general solar discussion. And so I'll just point out some notes that I took that I thought was interesting. If I have any mistakes here, feel free to contact me and correct me. You can email me at laurenlhighdesert@gmail.com, and I really appreciate it. The city of Lancaster is predicted to be net zero by 2016, and has been working with Solar City. Mongo Basin is almost net zero and could volunteer to be a test case, which would help the Mongo Basin become net zero. Mongo Basin is approximately 2 megawatts within being net zero. There is a problem in Lancaster. The schools have installed solar systems to cover the maximum power use, but apparently grants have been given to the schools to improve efficiency of the structures, meaning insulation, double pane windows, and other fixtures in the structure, which has ultimately decreased the amount of energy needed. And so solar panels are being decommissioned because the solar installation was larger than needed after the structure's efficiency was improved. The city of Palm Desert has offered incentives to improve energy efficiency, such as double pane windows, insulation, changing out pool pumps. And it was noted that the city of Palm Desert has been making effort to move towards cleaner energy, but Palm Desert doesn't have a lot of space as what the Mongo Basin has. So Palm Desert can't just go and install solar systems in the area. So they've been working more towards efficiency in their structures to decrease the demand for energy. Most energy is used for moving water as well as industrial purposes. Edison is a quote-unquote wires company, according to Jennifer Cusack, Southern California Edison region manager, who made an appearance at the meeting. Here's some information about the solar project. Marina West did get up and speak. Landers Association has filed appeal against S-Power solar project located on Bowman Trail in Landers. The appeal will be heard in public no sooner than March 17, 2015. Edison electrical upgrades have been found to be connected to the S-Power project, which was interesting because Jennifer Cusack was there to speak on the subject. And so she pointed out that, yes, there have been upgrades connected to the S-Power solar project, but there have also been upgrades that are not connected to S-Power. There is a 60-acre, 70-megawatt project that has been proposed but has not been accepted by the county yet. This is larger than the S-Power project. Information on power purchase agreements, or PPAs, are not available to the public unless specifically requested. PPAs are what help solar companies fund projects. So this is really interesting as well because Jennifer Cusack from Edison was questioned by the audience, how do we gain access to the information about the PPAs, again, the power purchase agreements about the solar projects in this area, which are what are funding the project. And she really had little information to give. She said that she would have to look into it personally to find the information about the purchase power agreement. Finally, other updates. Morongo is raising money to purchase a fire truck. So if you would like to know more information about that, please contact me or get in contact with the representative from Morongo. I recently attended the Black Rock Lecture Series at the Copper Mountain College Bell Center, which was actually really entertaining to watch, believe it or not. The topic was water in a decade of drought. And so there was a panel of speakers. There were three speakers. And the speakers were William Patzert, who has a PhD in oceanography. He's also collaborated with NASA, has a pretty impressive resume. The second speaker was Kirby Brill of Mojave Water Agency. He has a history of working with the Orange County Water District. And the third speaker was Marina West, who is connected to the Bighorn Desert View Water District. So I'll just be recapping over what was said at this discussion that I found to be interesting. And so I'll be starting off with William Patzert and what he emphasized in his talk, which went over general information about the drought, because he focuses on such a wide scale topic in his studies, a wide area, whereas Kirby Brill and Marina West are more locally centered. So William Patzert pointed out that we are in a fourth year of drought, and three of the years, recent years, have been the driest in California history. Drought means 15% below normal for a couple of decades, which is a long period of time. So he pointed out that basically when the news talks about a drought, one year of drought, that people assume that's a legit drought. But again, he pointed out that a legit drought is actually for decades and can be for a long span of time. And it's happened before in the U.S. and the world. Cities and industry receive 15% of water, while agriculture receives 80% of water, and it only accounts for 2% of the economy. That's a really big chunk, 80%. There are 123 golf courses in the Coachella Valley. One golf course in the Coachella Valley can require up to 300 million gallons of water per year. Half of California's water basins are polluted. Citizens of Israel use approximately 50 gallons of water per person per day, whereas in the high desert, residents use approximately 100 gallons of water per day. He encourages Americans to repeal and write the water laws, which this was pointed out throughout the discussion altogether, is that the water laws in the United States are really archaic. They were installed in the early 1900s, and yet we are still dictated by these laws. The U.S. is one of the only places where water is governed on a local level, and he pointed out that in Australia and other water-stricken areas or countries, water is dictated and governed on a national level. Here are some highlights from Kirby Brill that he brought up. He mentioned the Bay Delta Conservation Project. I don't have more information about this, but he did emphasize it. Again, the Bay Delta Conservation Project. He mentioned that groundwater laws were enacted in 1914. There has been new legislation put in place and signed by Governor Brown to begin managing wells, but this is focused more specifically on Central California rather than the whole state. Encourages distributed methods where water is stored closer to consumers. There are urban water management plans, which are focused on projecting 25 years into the future about methods to supply water for demand. Prop 1 allocated funds for groundwater storage, water use efficiency, and other options to conserve water. The third speaker was Marina West, and I'm in the process of communicating with Marina to get more notes from her discussion. I did not get a lot of notes from what she said because her presentation showed a lot of statistics about local use and water use, and I didn't collect a lot of information. But she did mention that the Bighorn Desert View Water District took water off the pipeline for the first time in 2014. And she also mentioned that Morongo Basin water basins are regularly recharged, which is really interesting. So she had a chart that showed water use over a period of time where the water level in the basins drop, but every so often, pretty consistently, the basins would be recharged. But it was predominantly mentioned that in the future here in the Morongo Basin, water will have to be imported because the water basins here cannot support the growing demand. And really quickly, I just want to brief over this information. It's general information from the Q&A session. 90 gallons of water per person in the high desert isn't very impressive because there are no lawns here. It was mentioned that in other areas of California, people use maybe 100 to 120 gallons of water per day per person, but they also have lawns and vegetation that requires water. So it was mentioned that Morongo Basin or yeah, Morongo Basin residents could be better. In Montecito County, approximately 400 gallons of water is used by each person every day. Historically, certain parts of San Francisco do not have water meters, so it is difficult to measure accurate water consumption in those areas. So generally saying that the infrastructure can also play a role in how we measure water consumption. State water is usually cleaner than local water. Significant amounts of water are used in agriculture in Central California, which many of the crops are sent to China. If you have anything to say about this, please message me if you have more information or articles you would like to share. But many crops are shipped to China, yet residents in the United States are seeing 5% reduction of available water. Desalination plants are not facing technical problems, but political problems. Cost is decreasing, yet currently still increases the price of water 4 to 5 times. It was mentioned that there are many forms of desalination, which I found this to be interesting because when desalination is mentioned, it is mentioned so vaguely in terms of taking seawater and taking out the salt to make it potable water. But it was mentioned that by the time water reaches the southern section of the United States and the Colorado River, it's relatively salty. So desalination is used even for water coming from the Colorado River. A problem with having desalination plants on the coast is that a significant amount of energy must be used to pump the water uphill, which there, again, a lot of energy is used for moving water. That's all the notes I have on the discussion. I encourage you to go to the next Black Rock lecture series at Copper Mountain College. It's really interesting and great to connect with local groups and local residents. I have a few final announcements to make about the Dollar General activity. An email has been sent out saying the big upcoming event that will need a leader to head up and organize is the second No Dollar General Rummage Sale fundraiser. If that's something you would want to do, then let everyone know you're interested. It might involve a few people to be in a sort of leadership committee. If you would like to know more about this, then please contact me. Also, Pat Flanagan sent out a letter. She has had a petition at the Morongo Basin MAC meeting. I do not have the specific detail about this petition on hand, but it is in relation to the DRECP or the Desert Renewable Energy Conservation Plan. So I'm just going to mention really quick an email that she sent out. She said the letter was written by Kevin Emmerich and Laura Cunningham, who provide all the latest in solar and wind development in the desert via basin and rangewatch.org. Again, that's basin and rangewatch.org. And Bill Powers of Bill Powers Engineering in San Diego, with lots of help from the people at Solar Zone Right. That's all I have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you can tune into my broadcast online through my website, which you can listen to at any time. My broadcast is also rebroadcasted on Radio Free Joshua Tree throughout the week. If you have any information you would like me to share on this broadcast, then let me know. You can email me at laurenlhighdesert@gmail.com, and I'll be sure to respond. You can also email me directly through my website. I appreciate hearing from the community and emphasizing what community residents are concerned about. Thank you so much, everybody, and I hope you have a great week.